You're listening to the Rural Advancement Podcast. Rural Advancement provides resources to empower, equip, and encourage rural pastors and churches. Join our community by visiting us at ruraladvancement.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rural Advancement. This is the podcast that is by rural leaders and for rural leaders. It is our goal week in and week out to bring you content not just spoken to the rural church, but spoken by people who get it, people who understand what it's like to minister, live, and work in small, out-of-the-way places, and people who truly get the value of God's work there. I am your host, Joe Epley, and today I am excited to dive into a conversation with Pastor Cordell Hines. We're going to kind of walk through, I really enjoyed hearing his journey because we're going to walk through kind of some ups and downs, right? We all know that ministry can be a really beautiful place, a really healing place, a really fulfilling place, but also some days can be the opposite. And I'm just excited to jump into his story, share his wisdom. He's been at ministry a long time. And been doing it effectively. And so we're excited to hear just kind of the words of wisdom he shares. But first, I want to say, Pastor Cordell, how are you doing, sir?
I'm having a good day. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. You know, I think the weather in Oklahoma and Montana is holding well. It's a beautiful spring day and a good day for a conversation. So, yeah. Well, hey, let's start out this way. We always like to ask people, you know, kind of to describe their background in ministry and especially kind of their connection to the rural church. So why don't you take 5 minutes, give us the flyover. Where have you been? What have you done? What are you doing now? You know, kind of walk us through that journey.
All right. Before I even started out in ministry, I grew up in a rural church. I grew up in a healthy, good rural church where salvation was preached. People got saved. There were opportunity for people to go into the ministry. And a lot of people my age went into the ministry out of that church. That church was in Delta, Colorado. It's Rivers Church now, but it was Delta First Assembly of God then. And we were able to hear and experience Pentecostal as it should be done. And it was great to grow up in that church. I got saved in that church. I got filled with the Holy Spirit in that church. And it was on a youth trip that I got called to preach. I was on a trip, a youth convention trip with that church when I got called to preach. My first church was in Comanche, Texas. It was almost dead center of Texas, a rural church. Then I went on to Olathe, Colorado. I went to the Delta Church, but Olathe is where I went to kindergarten to high school. And so it was kind of my hometown there that I was able to spend 22 years at in Olathe. Then I went to Tishomingo, Oklahoma, and now I'm at Henrietta, Oklahoma, and I've been here for about 3.5 years.
Oh, very nice. And so obviously pretty cool. Yeah, several different pastorates, several different places. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your current context? Tell us about the town of Henrietta. What's the church like? Give us a bit of a snapshot of that.
The town is about 4,000 people. It's on I-40, halfway in between Oklahoma City and the Arkansas border. It is historically a Creek Nation. This is where the Creek Nation came when they were territory. The town at one time was about 16,000 people, but it has been shrinking a little bit. It's lost a lot of jobs. You look at the community and you're going to see a lot of empty buildings, a lot of empty homes. The church here is, in some ways, has an old feel. The building is used to be the First Assembly of God in Henrietta, but it merged with the church in Sholter. The church here in Henrietta had shrunk to about 4 people, and not pretty good sized building. It was run down, but a good sized building. In Sholter, they had a little tiny building and, you know, about 30 people, and they were needing room. So it was a good to have the merger. And so the church sometimes has a feel of being a new church, and sometimes has a feel of being an older church. Since the merge, they've went through pastors fairly quickly, not the church's fault, but pastors left quickly. They've been a church for about, well, before I came here, there was a church for about 3 years, and they had 2 pastors, and I was without a pastor. And now I've been here 3 years, so it's about 6-year-old congregation now. Sure. And when I came, they were running about 20, and now we're running somewhere around 50 or so.
Cool. Man, thanks for that snapshot. I really love one of the things we value on this podcast is just the diversity of what the rural church is, you know, where it finds itself, what it looks like. A small town church merger is quite a fun story, you know, and it's cool to see God's continued work even through kind of some interesting situations. But hey, let's dive into some of your experience. And we'll probably take lessons that are spread across all your different pastorates, you know. I know that when we talked on the phone, you actually mentioned that in your, I think it was your first church as lead pastor, maybe in Texas, but you mentioned that there was a church where you actually had to walk the church through misusing spiritual gifts, right?
Yes.
Which I find so interesting because, again, I think sometimes even rural Pentecostal can be pretty like, what's the word I'm looking for? Reserved, you know? And so it's interesting that you're like, hey, I came across this church, pastored there. They had this big issue with it. So how did you pastor through that? And even maybe highlight for us the role that expository preaching kind of played in that. So two parts to that question, but walk us through that journey. And then any, you know, how do you lead through it?
All right. That church was about half Hispanic, half Caucasian, and the Hispanics all spoke Spanish. And there was a family of Hispanics in that church that when they were upset at one of their siblings, they would start giving personal prophecies to them in Spanish or a message in tongues. And one of the other sisters would interpret it in Spanish and nobody else knew what it was. And it was a rebuke. It seemed very harsh, not knowing Spanish. I didn't know what exactly was being said. And it would startle people. We had one guest, the first guest that was there that came, all of a sudden we had this message in tongues that was just super loud. I mean, it startled me, and I was raised in Pentecost all my life. And so I went to a leader in the section, and I'd ask him for some advice. And he said, you know, you being as young as you are, you can't just start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but you need to go through that. So he said, what I'd tell you to do is start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and just preach through 1 Corinthians until you get to that and lead the congregation to change. So that's what I did. So I took my time going through and then got to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 and gave them some instruction. And that changed the church. No more were we having the personal prophecies. No more were they dukes to one another. Before this, we may have had 5 or 6 tongues and interpretation in a service and several prophecies. And it seemed almost like chaos. And that brought some decency and order into that congregation and in preaching expository through there. And so since then, I do that most of the time. Most of my messages are preaching through a book of the Bible. You know, right now I'm preaching through on Sunday morning, Matthew, and on Wednesday night, we're going through Genesis. So just going through each book. I think it strengthens the church and you get a context of what the scripture's speaking about there.
Yeah, I really love that. And I kind of enjoy the fact that you know, I love whatever the advice you got. They said, hey, don't just let this be a sermon and a rebuke, but let it be a journey that you go on with people where you're putting clothing on the skeleton of whatever they're dealing with. You know, you're really building that up. And so I've heard a lot of good things about expository preaching. I mean, like a lot of the youth world that I come from, you do maybe shorter series or topical stuff. But I've heard a ton of people say, hey, it's really easy to get dry or stale or whatever. And just as a personal thing, as a preacher, but also for the sake of the church, you know, how many of us are just never going to preach on certain passages, you know, left to my own devices?
Yeah. Before I started Genesis on Wednesday, I went through Nahum, and that's a book that you don't hear a lot of people preaching through Nahum.
Yeah. Hard passages. I was trying to think, and I was like, I've never preached through Nahum at all. You know, like,
yeah, you don't hear it. And, so you get to preach in areas that you wouldn't normally be preaching in. If you do this, and you get to get into some difficult situations where you get to explain some things. And a lot of times I'm going to pass this by if you could, but when you're going through verse by verse, you have to hit those hard passages, but
yeah,
it helps people grow.
Yeah. I love that. All right. Well, let's keep walking through your journey here. So you talked about how one of your churches ended in a pretty painful way. So one of your church contexts that you pastored. And the only reason I really wanted to pause here is not to make you relive any experience. I'll let you kind of decide how much you want to tell us about that experience to set the scene. But the only reason I bring it up is because if we did a show of hands in a room full of pastors and said, hey, how many have ever been hurt by the church and even the church you were leading or a fellow pastor? I think it's a lot of people, you know, like I think this is something that has happened, especially if you're in ministry for any length of time. So talk to us about, you know, I know it's a mutual friend of ours, but how did a fellow pastor and then even how did continuing to serve a local church, help you become healthy again. Because again, I think our natural inclination in pain is to isolate, is to say, I don't need a mentor right now, and I certainly don't want to go pastor more people. But again, set the scene however you want, and then walk us through how those tools really brought you to a place of health.
All right. I was pastoring, and I thought things were going good. When I went to the church was running about 60. We were running into about 150 or so, so the church was growing. The income was increasing. We remodeled the gymnasium, and it was about a third of $1 million. We did that without going into debt.
Wow.
You know, I thought everything was going good. On a Wednesday night, we'd have over 100 youth and children in the church. So everything to me seemed like it was going good. And then one Sunday night after I preached, two out of three of my deacons came and pulled me aside Sunday night and said, we've got to have a talk. They said, we think it's time for you to leave. And, you know, I said, so one of the older members said, you know, a pastor shouldn't stay longer than 2 or 3 years. And it just floored me. It just, because I would have thought things are going good. And
well, and not to interject, but what a statement for someone to make after you just came off pastoring, you know, a church of what, 22 years, you said? I mean, you know, like we believe in longevity, especially in small town church. And for a church member to say, yeah, you shouldn't stick around too long, it's just shocking, you know?
Yeah. So the church I was at there, that was after 6 years of being there.
Dang.
And it was difficult. The deacon that was taking the lead in it said, you know what, we can, if 2/3 of the deacons call for a vote, they can get a vote. And he said, we'll do that. He said, I don't know if you'll get it or if you won't, but whatever way it goes, if you take it to a vote, it'll split the church. And at that time, I wish I would have thought of, you know, Solomon and, you know, the baby said, you know, when he said, whichever one of these, one, you know, we'll split the baby in half.
Sure.
They were willing to split the baby in half. I wasn't willing, but I wish I didn't think I was having that conversation. I was just completely shocked. Mm. And so I left that church confused, angry, hurt, and just a mix of emotions. My wife was hurt. My kids were all by this time out of the home, but they were hurt. We just didn't see it coming. And a lot of pastors were able to just really encourage me. But there was, when I moved here to Henrietta, there was a neighboring pastor, David Bright, and his wife. We started going out every Sunday night and just fellowshipping. Mm. And that fellowship healed wounds for me, healed wounds for my wife. It just really helped heal us. And then also this church, the congregation just loved us and encouraged us. And I just knew it was God that brought me here. I mean, I probably wouldn't have picked this church if I had time, if I, you know,
sure.
And when I came here, but when I felt the love from the people here, I knew this is exactly where God wants me. This is not going to be just a short-term place. God has me here for a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. And specifically just highlight, maybe just say a few words, but I feel like when we were on the phone, you said specifically, you were like, man, it was re-engaging the body of Christ, not withdrawing from the body of Christ that really brought health. Maybe just talk for just a second. Just use your own words to share that a little.
You know, it was the church that hurt me. It was people in the church that hurt me. But it was the church that helped heal me too. I mean, I felt the love of Christ through the church, and getting close to people in the church is where I found the healing. And that's, God used people in the church to speak to me. God used people in the church to encourage me. God used people in the church to pray for me. And it wasn't that I was hearing the voice of God in prayer alone, but it was with God's people that healing came. And our family, shortly after we came here, our family went through just a tragic time. I mean, it'd be too long to get into it, but we had 4 deaths in my family in a week, 5 deaths in a month. And this church here just loved us. The deaths were in Colorado, California, and Texas. And so we had to be gone a lot. And this church just loved us, every single person here. And that helped so much also, just being loved by the church.
Mm.
If I would have took a church, if I would have stepped out of ministry, I would not have been as far as long in my healing as I am now. I know God would have healed me somehow, but it was in the church where God decided to heal me.
Wow. And I just love that testimony because, again, It is hard. You know, if I said, hey, who are the people in churches that have hurt me? I could think of people, you know, like it's a list we all carry. But I love hearing you say, man, it's still God's design that we have a community of believers. Well, hey, looking at another part of your context. So you mentioned that in one of the churches you were in, you kind of had followed a pastor or maybe set of pastors that were less than ideal and how they finished, you know, their ministry at that church, right? And this is a question I like to ask because I just think, again, a lot of rural pastors are going to encounter this mindset, right? We know that in the rural church, there are people of the soil and they are frequently the deacons and they're frequently the long-term stakeholders in the community and they've been born in this church and they've had their kids be raised and get married and come back and be part of this church. And we are the pastors. And most often, no matter what, we're kind of still this outsider in a sense. You know, even if you're there for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, you don't have land in the area. You know what I'm saying? You don't have the 1,000-acre farm, this fifth generation. So after a couple bad pastors, church congregations can really struggle to have faith in a pastorate. And so how did you maybe help that congregation restore faith in the office of pastor?
One of the pastors had a moral failure and had to leave. And then it was the same church, but the next pastor didn't stay long. He seemed to be using the church as a resting ground or a stepping stone. And to restore that, the people have got to see your love for him. And they got to know that you're called there and you're committed to him. And your actions and your words have to be saying the same thing. If your words are saying one thing, but your actions are saying something different, there's no credibility being built. So your words and actions have to say the same thing. And they've got to feel that you love them. They've got to feel that you care about them and you're not just using them. And you're just not just, when the next good opening comes, I'm out of here. You stay with them through thick and thin. And that's part of what builds that credibility. Building credibility takes time.
Mm.
Destroying that trust can happen. One incident can destroy years of trust being built.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that you mentioned the time element because I think all the principles you just mentioned are effective right away, but they're really, really effective when you've done them over time. And so that is huge. I love that. What a good encouragement. Let's chat through this next question here. So obviously you have over 3 decades in ministry. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. You know, for reference, I've been alive 3 decades. You know what I'm saying? Like, here we are. So in the course of that, you talked about how there were certain, like obviously each context demands different things from leaders. You're doing different ministries, maybe leading a little bit differently. But you mentioned that in every church you've pastored, you've tried to bring you know, some basic stuff to it, scripture reading through the Bible, you know, different focuses on prayer. I can't remember all the specifics of what we said over the phone, but what are those things that you're like, man, over and over in every church, I've sought to really make this a big focus?
Yes. Yeah, so one of those is reading the word. I want to get the congregation reading the word for themselves. And it has some of the same principles of preaching through a book. But if you preach through every book, it would take you 17 years or so to get through the entire Bible. So they have to go through it themselves. And there's books and there's parts that they're never going to read. I mean, you get the Leviticus sometimes. What am I doing here? What am I reading here?
I will freely confess that I have. It's been a long time since I've ever really read the first 10 chapters of First Chronicles. I'm just like, it's just a bunch of names, man. And I'm sure somebody has a great sermon series about it somewhere, but I just missed it, you know.
Well, the prayer of Jabez is in that one, so you do.
Oh, shoot, the prayer of Jabez, I forgot. Gosh, see, already feeling conviction. But anyways, to your point, continue on.
But we would start the people in reading the Bible through. Most of the times, it's just starting in Genesis, going through Revelation. We've done a few things a little different, but every year I have people doing it, and I'd be surprised. I've had people that were deacons that have never read the Bible through, you know, people that have been in church their entire life and never read the Bible through, and we'll recognize them, we'll celebrate them, we'll give them a small gift or something at the end of the year if they've read through it, and we'll encourage people to do it. This past year, if somebody that read through it for the first time, we gave them a fire Bible when they got through with it. It was a lady that was about 88 years old, and the print was too small for her. But that was the first time she's been in church for decades. And that's the first time this 88, 87-year-old lady had read the Bible through the whole Bible. So we get the people into the Word of God. We also emphasize prayer. I try to start prayer meetings. I try to encourage the people to pray more than they've ever prayed before. And just spend time, corporate prayer and personal prayer. We emphasize that. And the third thing I've emphasized in every church I pastored is strong missions giving. Every church that I've been, increased their missions giving. Just one church, well over 1,000%. They just had the opportunity to give to missions. And, you know, that's the mission of God. That's the heart of God. That's why we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, to take this word to every nation, every tribe, and every language. So I want to get people involved in missions. And those are three important things: get them involved in prayer, get them involved in reading the word, and get them involved in missions.
Yeah, I'm always floored by how much of our of stuff that really does build people and build churches is not trendy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I said, hey, a local pastor says people should read the Bible, pray, and give money to missions, nobody would write an article on that, because it's you know. But I love, you're talking 30 years, you're talking a track record of growth, and not like success, like I'm putting you on a pedestal, but you're like, man, I have pastored well, the churches have been good, you've had great stories from it. And at the heart of it all is just following through on these simple things, majoring on the majors, right? Like really encouraging people, celebrating people. I love all those things. So last question for you then. And again, this harkens to a bit of just your kind of experience. You've been at it again over 30 years. And so what I often find is pastors my age and younger, you know, I'm in my early 30s, and you get pastors who are in their 20s, and sometimes even by the end of your 20s, there are pastors who kind of burn out and say, hey, I don't want to do that anymore. And so what are some words of wisdom or encouragement that you would pass on to pastors to help them stick with it?
To help pastors stick with it, especially the younger ones, I would strongly encourage them to have a strong personal prayer life. I mean, that seems like, duh, of course.
Oh, yeah, but we're not doing it, are we? You know what I'm saying?
But the times that I have felt, the times that I've got the lowest in ministry was times when I've let my prayer life go down. You increase your prayer life, it just helps you get through those difficult areas. It doesn't mean those difficult areas aren't going to come, but it's a point of strength for you. We're not doing ministry in and of ourselves. We're doing ministry because the Lord strengthens us. And where do we find that strength? We find that strength in prayer and time with Him. So when you've prayed, pray more. When you think you've prayed it, pray a little more and keep your prayer life strong. I'd also encourage people to get close friends in the ministry outside your church that are in the ministry, that understand ministry. Some of those friends need to be your age. Somebody you can go and have fun with, you know, whatever it is, golf, hunt, whatever you like doing. Some friends that you're on, that you can talk to, and just, you can't complain to your church. You know, you can't complain to your spouse all the time, or that's all you're going to end up doing.
Right.
But if you have a friend that you can just say, you know what, I'm going through this, and just talk to them. But also have a friend that has more experience than you. Every one of those things that I've started doing in my church came from somebody that was in ministry longer than me that said, you know what, I've got my church reading through the Bible. So I started my church reading through the Bible. Somebody that was older said, you know what, I strongly recommend missions. You know, strongest churches, the healthiest churches are mission churches, was an older minister. And just get around an older minister with wisdom and insight, and spend some time with them as well. Have somebody your own age, have somebody older than you. And then I also recommend taking a day off. I mean, there's something to do.
There's always, I feel that.
Yeah. You never run out of problems. You never run out of, there's always sick people in the church. There's always hurting people in the church. There's always lost people in town. There's always more time you can spend preparing for a sermon, but get a day off, and then never quit on a down day, on a difficult day. You know, you've heard, don't quit on a Monday, but don't quit on a difficult day. Things are going to get better. You're going to get through this. You know, that person that's mad at you, they're either going to get over it, or they're going to leave, or they're going to ask you to leave. But that's not the end, you know. So don't quit when things are difficult. That's my words of wisdom.
Yeah, no, and I loved it, especially just hearing you elaborate. Yeah, don't quit on a down day. I think so many of us get to a rough season, go, well, I better be done, you know, and I can't help but think of how often I've been personally strengthened hearing people like yourself or others that we've interviewed on this podcast who say, yeah, I've been in the same church 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, and you know, it's been up and down. And like, just the acknowledgement, like, I can survive this, has been just hugely encouraging. So, Pastor Cordell, I just want to say thank you again, man. This has been a delightful conversation. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it. I had a great time. You made me better, you and your questions. Thank you.
Well, good. Glad we can help each other out. Well, hey, from all of us at Rural Advancement, we just want to say again how much we love and cherish the opportunity to speak right to your context. We hope that you're encouraged, inspired, challenged to live for God even more, to minister better. As always, you can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcast or ruraladvancement.com. But true to rural form, really the best way to spread this podcast is around is for one pastor to look at another and say, hey, I got some conversations that I think you should be a part of. And so once again, I've been your host, Joe Epley. He has been Pastor Cordell Hines, and we will see you next week.